Devin Almonte here. Welcome. This is Insight Out, where we learn to look at our faith from God's eyes and figure out how to live that out in our everyday. All right, if a teenager drops a piece of paper near you, don't pick it up. It might be a setup, one that is designed to boost their social standing. There's a trend that is still going on where a teen will drop paper on purpose, wait for you to bend down and pick it up, and then dramatically they're going to come back, turn around, whip out a pen, sign that paper like they are a celebrity giving an autograph. Of course, that entire moment is caught on camera. It's posted online to craft what looks like effortless cool, just part of a vibe. It's part of a larger movement that's been going on for a number of years now, still going strong, evolving. It's called aura farming. What in the world is this? Well, psychiatrist Dr. Daniel Bober explained on Fox 5DC the other day.
This morning, Dr. Daniel Bober is joining us now to break down this term, this trend, and why it's so unnerving for parents right now. Dr. Bober, so good to have you.
Great to be here.
So what is this whole new trend when it comes to aura farming?
So aura farming is a term that arose from the world of online gaming. Basically, players compete for specific content to obtain rare cosmetic items such as visual effects, glowing skin that convey prestige. And how it applies to social media now is it's the intentional curation of a personal vibe, an aesthetic, a mystique for young people so that they can stand out on social media. And there's various reasons that people do this. And some of them are very obvious, like social validation, a sense of belonging, a need for status. So this is something that, you know, is almost like a digital gold rush. A lot of effort for maybe not a lot of payoff and reward, but it keeps people coming back almost like a slot machine does.
At its core, aura farming is about us repeating these small calculated behaviors to manage how we're seen, not for who we are, but the vibe that we are giving off. And you're not earning real points. I mean, it kind of is based on the gaming and as if you do have points, but it's based on perception. Like you're earning a form of social credit. So that social perception, that is the credit, that is the currency. I know they say the world gets faster the older you get, and I know that's part of it, but I feel like I wake up every day and the world is totally different. Like we keep heading full steam ahead in this completely new modern direction that I don't really care for, aura farming included. It's just, we're just creating a brand new culture that I don't think any of this ends well. It's really training us to curate our entire lives, our appearance, our likes, our dislikes, our persona, even our faith. It's taking all forms, teens that are trying to perfect this whole aura thing and doing various stunts for attention, trying to craft the vibe. Adults like us, we're doing a version of that with our LinkedIn bios. We're trying to post our own social media content and just create these fake, authentic moments, if we can call it that. And just we're like making this very polished, shiny version of our public presence. The image that we want people to see and convey that, hey, this is what our life is like. That's what's happening. We're being discipled in a way by a system that is telling us that our value comes from how others see us, how others perceive us. That's our cultural moment today. And it's a world that tells us to belong, we have to perform, to be trusted, we have to prove ourselves, to be valued, we have to get the image just right. And so today's episode is actually continuing on the conversation that we started last week. It was in my episode called Scored by Society, The Quiet Rise of Social Credit in America. So go back and listen to that later if you haven't yet. I'll leave a link for all of that in the show notes. It's about social credit, the idea that our standing in the world rises or falls based on how others rate us. It's belonging that's built on behavior and performance. And so this week, we're building on that a little bit. We're just taking it to the next step because it's not that we're just being socially rated by others. We're now curating our lives to meet the scorecard that we helped create, shaped partly by us and partly by culture, that tells us who and what we are to be. Let's go back to that British TV series, Black Mirror. I talked about this last week. There's an episode called Nosedive, where the main character, Lacey Pound, she stands in front of a mirror and she is practicing her laugh. Listen to this. So I know that sounds totally insane, but this woman, Lacey, she is fresh out of the shower. She's wrapped in her robe and her hair towel, literally rehearsing her laugh and her smile, all so she can be more likable to earn better social ratings. Because in her world, every interaction is scored and rated. Totally creepy. Yes, I don't like this. And we think, oh, thank goodness we are not like that. This is just fiction. But really, we are not that far off from that today, like how we're living now. We are shaping our image to match what the world wants. That's happening now, and it's stripping us of who we really are. So that brings us back to the aura farming, not just as a trend, but as a symptom. Because I get it, while it might seem like just another weird Gen Z phase, I think it's exposing something that we all do, just in different ways. Because what are we doing? We are shaping ourselves to be seen, not known. That is a shift. And honestly, I'm not even sure where this shift really started to take hold, probably with social media. And it's not good. It's really not a good way to live. I spent far too much time researching for a video on aura farming just to show you what this is like in action. I know the doctor explained this earlier, like a school lesson, but I think sometimes we really just need to see this in action. So my kids confirm that this was a good video, a good one at explaining kind of an overview of what it is. Listen.
Yo, bro, your phone's ringing. Are you going to pick that up?
No.
Why not?
Bro, this phone just started ringing. If I pick it up now, I'm going to lose aura.
I can't lose my aura for this guy. It's
what
not going to happen.
An emergency, bro? Look now, you missed his call.
Just let me get my aura up.
Bro, I think you dropped your wallet.
Yeah, I see it.
Jevon, are you not going to pick it up?
Bro, you want me to bend over and pick up that wallet in the middle of the store and lose my aura? I can't do that.
What if somebody comes and takes?
As long as I keep my aura, it's good.
Boy, are you not going to use your wipers or something?
And risk losing aura? And show people that I can't handle a little bit of water? What do you mean, dude? We're good.
You can barely see.
I got aura. I'm good.
That's what it is. It's so bizarre. I mean, in this video, the guy, he won't answer his phone because caring too much will kill the vibe. So you got to kind of like not answer the phone. And he won't pick up his wallet on the ground because that will cost you aura points. And he won't turn the windshield wipers on while it's raining, while they're in the car, because that's like too helpless, too needy. It kills the effortless vibe that this guy's got going on. Mind you, all of this is on camera, which means that the effortless cool actually takes a whole lot of effort behind the scenes, planning, retakes, the right look, the right outfit, making sure it looks all natural, when it's really the most unnatural thing that you could be doing. And all for what? The social credit, curating our life's image that's being evaluated and decided on by society. That's the world that our teens are trying to survive in, and adults, we're not doing much better. There was actually an app, People, P-E-E-P-L-E. This was back in 2015, and it was basically a version of Yelp, but for rating people instead of restaurants or services. Thankfully, it got major backlash and never took off, because the whole idea was that anybody could rate you. If you didn't tip the bartender or you forgot to smile at the cashier, somebody could leave you a one-star review, and then others can start to pile on and then just tank your score. And at that point, what's next? We're going to get kicked out of Starbucks for not being happy enough, not having the right kind of social presence. Thankfully, we still have some moral compass left, I think. I think we're still holding on to some of that. But the fact that it almost launched, the fact that this thing exists, I think that tells us something about where we are now and where we're headed. My kids, of course, say I'm being over the top and that it's just dumb fun. And yes, they tease me quite a bit for spending a whole day researching this thing, researching aura farming. I think that alone makes you lose aura points. But I think they're wrong. I don't think it's just dumb fun. It's not just a trend. It has become, and they're not seeing this, it's a worldview. It's a lens that we're all starting to live by. What I see is that through these videos, we're learning how to understand our identity by curating an image that we want others to see. We're trying to live out the vibe that we think will earn us approval. We're trying to, by like curating all this stuff and producing this stuff, we're controlling the perception. And it requires constant adjustment to whatever society says we should be. And that's not it. You got to still wait, because even after you do all of these things, you still have to wait, because you can't just validate your videos or validate your existence and your identity. You still need external validation. You need other people to validate your curated lifestyle. And if no one notices or praises or likes the image or the video, it feels like it didn't even count. We're seeing this more and more, especially in all the conversations that we hear around gender and identity, because for some, it's no longer enough to even self-identify. Others are expected to affirm and reflect back that chosen identity or whatever that lifestyle is. And if it's not, that's where that rejection comes in. It's seen as a rejection of the person altogether. That's why I think this whole aura farming thing, while kind of silly and stupid, is actually kind of dangerous, because it's really showing us this deep need for external validation and how far that's gone. It's not just about being seen, it's about being approved of, or else our little digital invisible point system, our aura, might become empty. And once it's empty, there goes our identity, or we feel rather hopeless and full of despair. As I think the doctor said, we got to keep coming back to the slot machine for more. That's an awful way to live. It's a fruitless way to live. But it doesn't have to be this way. We are invited to something so much better, worlds better. It's a life shaped by Christ, not by culture. And it's unchanging. It's living out his story, not our carefully curated one that will certainly fail us. Bethany Frankel, she used to be on The Real Housewives of New York, and she said it best. Here, listen.
So another Jersey housewife, she and her husband are filing for bankruptcy. And it makes me think about, out of 100 and change women, how many have been incarcerated, arrested for DUIs, foreclosures, bankruptcy, like just financial problems. It's literally the keeping up with the Joneses, and each individual cast talks about the other people on their cast, not on camera, but will say like, oh, this person doesn't really have that, or they're just pretending, or, you know, and it's just, it's really sad. It must be so pressure filled to feel that you have to pretend. People care more about the lives that people think they have than actually being happy.
Yeah. A lot of those reality housewives are now facing legal trouble, financial fallout, even prison time. Some of them have already done prison time. They've got tax liens. These perfectly, carefully curated lives. And guess what? It's costing them their real one. Living beyond their means to maintain this image and their version of social credit. It comes at a high cost. And it's not just the housewives. I mean, there's that, all the reality stuff. We've got dating profiles. There was a recent survey that showed over half of the dating app users lie about who they are, men a little more than women, and typically about their hair and their careers. I thought that was kind of interesting. And new research by JetCost released a study that showed that 1 in 7 Americans lie about taking vacation. Lie on social media just to appear interesting. I mean, who are we trying to impress? parents, coworkers, friends. It is all part of that same pressure to perform and to shape external perception over the truth. It makes me sad where we are today with this whole curated life. It doesn't set us free. It makes us a slave to image. And then that pressure starts to build where we've got to maintain that, and it ends up crashing and we're physically and emotionally exhausted. Let me give you another example. Taylor Russo Grigg, she was a 25-year-old TikToker with over 1 million followers. Super cute girl, had a very polished Southern cowboy hat kind of vibe, and just people loved her content. I mean, I don't really know what she did. She just talked about things she was doing in their camper with her husband and, I don't know, shopping. But in one of her videos, she admitted that she was just done with the facade. It was taking a pretty big toll on her health, on her spirit.
I figured I would just make it kind of like an update video for you guys, because I know a lot of people have had a lot of opinions about, you know, my videos. And, you know, some people have said I look unhappy. And the truth is, it's just because I'm not faking a smile like I've done in the past for the camera. Before, when I first started, I just enjoyed filming and I enjoyed being in front of the camera. And after a while, with the pressure to succeed and the pressure to be all of these things that is impossible for one person to be, that smile fades and you begin to put on a facade. I'm done doing that.
So hard to listen to that. And it was around that time, sadly, she was diagnosed with Addison's disease. So she had been struggling for a while, didn't know what was going on with her health. And sadly, she passed away from those complications toward the end of 2024. But before she died, she just, I guess you could call it courageous in a way. She just said, I can't keep this up. And that's because it's not real. Now, before we just shrug that off and say, well, that's, you know, they walked into reality TV, they're social media people, and I'm not like that. But if we're honest, even if we're maybe even considering ourselves boring people, most of us are still curating something. It could be the version of ourselves that we bring to church. I mean, even our faith can slip into curation mode and performance mode, because we can very easily live by that image of our relationship with God and just have it appear a certain way instead of having it be an intimate, active relationship where we are pursuing Christ. We're told even in ministry, you know, put yourself out there, grow your ministry, show the fruit, count the blessings, lives are being changed. And listen, I love seeing that light shared. I really do. I think it's important, but I also think there's a line, a quiet, subtle one that we cross when our faith starts to become that performance. And in those situations, before we know it, we're building and curating a faith or a ministry that is presentable, but not personal. It's a faith that looks good on the outside, maybe to others, but it's not really taking root. And it can't, because it's curated. It's not real. It's like a mirage. Jesus warns us in Matthew 6, verse 1, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. What are we really trying to prove? That we're faithful? Or that we've mastered the optics of a faithful life? It's a lot to keep up with. And this whole image machine doesn't take a break. It doesn't rest. Is it possible that without the image, without the shiny polish, without the approval, we're afraid maybe that we don't have anything worth offering? Like if we stop performing and measuring up, that we're just going to fade into the background. We're going to be unseen and unnoticed, maybe unliked. Because I feel it, as this world gets faster and faster, just as we are, doesn't feel like enough anymore. We've worked so hard to control the narrative of our lives, like just trying to curate every chapter, when the story, let's remember, that was never ours to write in the first place. But because we're sinners, we love to step in and we become the editors of our own image, trying to carefully manage how we are perceived, instead of being the participants in the story that God is writing. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. But no, we try to go rewrite and edit and do all that extra work. I think underneath all the efforts that we go through to curate our entire life and our lifestyle and image, that we've just got this maybe lack of trust in Jesus, for one, but also a fear of maybe just being ordinary and unknown. And if no one said this to you yet, maybe you need to hear this. It is okay to just be. A quiet life is not a lesser one. And it might just be the one that has all the peace, where we really flourish. There's no aura farming. There's no performance. It's just obedience and joy and rest. I 100% believe that we are to be in community with other believers. But I do think we can also recognize at the same time that it is okay to be unseen by the world when the one who made us sees us completely and loves us fully. What more could we ask for? What more would we need? I think Paul understood this pressure in Galatians 1, verse 10. He asks, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. We can't chase applause and walk in obedience. They're going in totally different directions. And the world says, perform to belong, curate your identity, be impressive. And God says, you already belong. You're already created in my image. Be faithful. God doesn't measure us by the image we project. He sees our heart. Back in the 1800s, Charles Spurgeon, oh, I love him. I have one of his devotionals, I forget what it's called, Morning and Evening, so good. But he preached on a message of John 5, verse 44, which says, how can you believe since you accept glory from another, but do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? And he made this incredible observation about how deeply we crave approval. He said, quote, oh, how many live on the breath of their fellow men, to be approved, to be applauded, that is their heaven. But to be despised, to be sneered at, to be called a fool, to have some nickname applied to them, oh no, they would sooner go to hell than bear that. Afraid to be ordinary, looking for constant approval. I think the question we need to be asking isn't, how do you see me? It's, who am I? And maybe it's time we stop asking the world to tell us and start asking the one who made us. If we're feeling worn out from all this pressure to keep up or have our lives look a certain way, maybe this is our reminder that we don't have to live like that. And if someone has popped into your mind while you've been listening, maybe a friend, family member, someone in your small group, go ahead, send this episode their way. You never know who might need this, just as that reminder that we don't have to create and curate this whole image and aura to be loved. If you want to take this a step further, I've put together some simple action steps in this week's newsletter. Part of what we do here, it's not just talk about what's going on. I think that's great, but I love to find practical ways that we can start living out our faith, take real action. You can subscribe at insightoutmedia.org/newsletter. I will also leave everything for you, the link for that in the show notes. And we'll also have more conversations in my Insight Out community group on Facebook. It's a private group. If you'd like to join, just head to insightout.media on Facebook, search for groups, and just plug in and get connected. And as always, thank you for being here. Let's choose wisely and live our lives Insight Out. See you next time.